generations of people around the world could instantly identify this voice.
I'm going to ask you to trust him tonight. I'm going to ask you to take that first baby step and say tonight, I need Christ, I need God. I want to receive.
That was Billy Graham in Chicago, 1962. William Franklin Graham Jr. was born on November 7th, 1918, 4 days before the end of World War I on the family's dairy farm along Park Road near Charlotte. Billy Frank, as he was known in boyhood, milked cows, played pranks, and soaked up his parents' strict Protestant values. Graham biographer William Martin says the young Billy also got early glimpses into the lives of traveling evangelists who often stayed in the Graham home.
Billy, as a boy, had a chance to sit at the feet, literally, and to listen to these evangelists tell stories of what they were up to. And that thrilled him.
Although immersed in religion early in life, Billy Graham later wrote that as a boy he was spiritually dead. That is, until around his 16th birthday, when evangelist Mordecai Ham came to Charlotte. Graham responded to the preacher's gospel invitation in what Graham would recall as the moment in which he made his real commitment to Jesus Christ. After high school and a summer selling Fuller brushes, Graham was off to college. He began at the staunchly conservative Bob Jones College, but Graham soon enrolled at Florida Bible Institute near Tampa, where he also got fundamentalist training, but in a less rigid environment. He again rubbed shoulders with visiting evangelists, and says William Martin, Graham began to hone his own preaching skills in the swamps of Central Florida.
While he was there, he would practice his sermons. He'd go out and preach to alligators and birds, and go into the school bus barn and preach to the buses. One of the officials at the school there said Billy wanted to do something big. He didn't know just what it was, but he wanted to do something big.
After graduating from the Bible Institute, Graham enrolled at Wheaton College near Chicago, where he majored in anthropology. He fell in love with Ruth Bell, the daughter of missionary parents, and the couple married in 1943. Billy and Ruth Graham had 5 children, and the marriage endured until Ruth's death in 2007. Graham's vocation continued to take shape through the 1940s. He pastored an Illinois church and served as a college and seminary president at Northwestern Schools in Minnesota. Graham also helped launch Youth for Christ International, and he began to receive more invitations to preach.
I'm glad to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has an answer to every problem that you face. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has an answer to every burden that you carry.
That's Graham in Los Angeles during a 1949 crusade held in a circus tent. The meetings stretched from the scheduled 3 weeks to 8. The surrounding publicity placed Graham on the national stage for good.
This is the Hour of Decision with Billy Graham.
Then sings my soul, my Savior.
Graham's new radio program was launched in 1950 and was soon carried by hundreds of stations nationwide. The same year, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association was formed in Minneapolis. Graham wasn't the first evangelist to tap the power of radio and then television, but he was a pioneer in taking the gospel to the masses through media, from films to broadcasts of recorded crusades shown in prime time on network TV. In 1954, Graham was featured on the cover of Time magazine and held his first overseas crusade in London. Graham later became the first major evangelist to penetrate communism's Iron Curtain to address audiences throughout Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. The Graham evangelistic machine quickly became very well oiled, but longtime associate and Graham's brother-in-law, Leighton Ford, says there was more than organization at work.
It was a move, a surprising move, spiritual move, that somehow met the mood of the day and the needs of people. And this young man who came across the scene with this very straight, simple, powerful message.
Graham's core message about sin, repentance, and salvation never changed. But over the years, his preaching style and his theological worldview evolved to become more encompassing. Graham biographer and Duke University professor Grant Wacker.
There is the legacy of Graham's insistence that the gospel is broader than any one tradition, certainly broader than his own Southern Baptist tradition would have dictated. and that the task of the Christian evangelist is to proclaim God's love and to leave the judgment to God.
Graham's view of the gospel also grew beyond the lines of the segregated South in which he grew up. During a Tennessee crusade in 1953, Graham personally removed the ropes that local organizers intended would separate blacks and whites in the audience. And he consistently preached that Christianity knows no ethnic or racial boundaries.
Don't ever say it's a white man's religion or a black man's religion. It's a world religion. He belongs to the world.
Billy Graham became a fixture in American life, including the realm of politics. He met with every U.S. president during the course of his own public life and developed personal friendships with several. The associations at times left Graham vulnerable to criticism. Again, Duke professor Grant Wacker.
Graham lent his extraordinarily personal prestige to the presidents. And herein, I think that he was naive. He simply did not realize that his presence had the effect of legitimating a president or a presidential policy.
Graham's close ties to President Richard Nixon proved especially awkward. When the worst of the Watergate scandal became public, the president's loyal friend would later write, Graham found the details almost unbearable. Politics aside, Billy Graham offered hope to the nation in the midst of its worst traumas. In 2001, he spoke at a memorial service held in Washington's National Cathedral 3 days after the September 11 terrorist attacks.
Yes, our nation has been attacked. Buildings destroyed, lives lost. But now we have a choice, whether to implode and disintegrate emotionally and spiritually as a people and a nation, or whether we choose to become stronger through all of this struggle to rebuild on a solid foundation.
In 2007, three former presidents and a host of longtime associates and friends gathered in Charlotte to dedicate the Billy Graham Library. Former President George H.W. Bush delivered an emotional tribute.
And so we're gathered here today because Billy Graham, the man, the preacher, the humble farmer's son who helped change the world, is a spiritual gift to all of us.
And as similar accolades piled up, Graham's wry humor surfaced.
I feel like I've been attending my own funeral.
Billy Graham, admired by millions, seemed ever quick to deflect personal praise, as during this 1996 news conference prior to his final hometown crusade in Charlotte.
I'm not that good. I'm not a great preacher. I'm just an ordinary proclaimer of the gospel. I would call myself an exhorter, and I have one message, and that is for people to be sure that they're right with God, and that they're ready to go to heaven when they die.
One man with a singular message, a message delivered with passion to all who would listen. For WFAE News, I'm Mark Rumsey.